Welcome to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast, where each week, Samantha Johnston, brand developer to the creative and confused, and Nicole Hoagland, small biz and confidence coach to the creatives, are having entrepreneurs share their real stories and tips about their honest and authentic success in business and how they have been able to lead boldly by being themselves. They are creating a movement to show you how to create your own version of success and empower you to be beautifully bold in your business.
On today's episode, we have Raina Pomeroy, who is the founder of Raina & Co., the life and biz success coaching practice for creatives who are right-brained and heart-centered. She helps women who have a million brilliant ideas in their heads that they just can't seem to make happen. She helps them to stop spinning their wheels and take action on what's most important so that they can become the go-to expert in their field.
Thank you for joining us today on the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast. I'm Samantha.
And I'm Nicole.
And today we're joined with Raina. Hey, Raina, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So we like to get all of these started by asking you, what was your kickstart moment in getting started?
Oh man, I have actually two of them. So the first one was when I decided to actually leave my job and then start my business. And then the other one was actually feeling like I was getting somewhere in my business. Can I share both of them?
Of course.
Yeah. So leaving my job, I was terrified because I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. I was like, what the heck am I doing? I suck at this. And like wanting to be good at playdates and wanting to be good at, that was really tough to know that you are knocked out and figured out, okay, I can put my son in daycare a little bit. And with that time, being able to have him in daycare, I started my business, started talking to people on Facebook. I learned what Facebook groups were. That was life-changing. And then the other kickstart moment was getting hired by Heather Crabtree and her telling people that the work that we did was inspirational and life-changing for her.
Learning more about Raina. I know you had the social work and you just talked about working part-time consultancy. And I know that you also have wedding industry background. Mm-hmm. What ultimately inspired you to go the coaching route?
Yeah. So in my social work career, the last job I had, they had a little bit of grant money to spend on me, I guess. And they wanted me to start coaching students. And they're like, you're a social worker. You know how to talk to people. And I was like, I don't know what coaching is. I don't understand. I went from doing like therapy and talking to people about their problems to figuring out what they wanted to do with their lives. And, you know, the more inspirational, aspirational, and hope-filling things that coaching can do. And not to say that coaching isn't, you know, tough to dig into and all of that, but it really gave me the platform to be able to say, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And since I had my wedding planning business before, I knew creatives, I knew what they struggled with, I knew what it took to have a profitable business and, you know, to be able to really dig into both of those things, wanting to help people and wanting to do it in the creative realm.
So you exude an enormous amount of confidence in what you do, but I know that we all have those moments where we have to talk ourselves through the negative self-talk or even external negative talk. How do you deal with that? What do you turn to?
I think that it would be silly to say that we can just, you know, blaze through and just be confident all the time. I think that I've had so many moments of self-doubt, of wanting to, you know, kind of crawl into a hole. I haven't ever had the thought of, oh, I want to quit this. Like, I really wanted it enough that I've always wanted to fight for it. But it would be silly for me to say that I've never felt that self-doubt, whether it's not being able to sell my coaching service or like no one's going to want to get on the phone with me or what am I thinking putting up a website? Like, this is so silly. Or just people in my life not understanding what business ownership is about. And I'm guessing you both understand what that's like, right? And for my family to be like, wait, you're going to put your son in daycare and not, wait, I don't understand. You're not going to get a job. But it was just like such an interesting time in my life. And the past year has been super eye-opening for me in terms of the life that I want to live. But it's scary. It's every single decision is hard. And you need to know what the consequences of your action or inaction are, right?
Oh, yeah.
You guys are reading each other's minds. It's cute.
We really are. What I love about what you're doing right now, Raina, is you truly are bringing the vulnerability side to being a business owner to the forefront. I would like to know, what are some of the inspirations that you have on a daily basis to be able to bring that to everything that you're doing?
It's so interesting that you asked that, because probably 6 months ago, I was having a conversation with somebody who knows me pretty darn well from the coaching realm, and I now consider her a mentor. And she said to me, Raina, I think that you're a really awesome coach, but you're really terrible at opening up. And you're basically gave me tough love in terms of, you are sucky at being vulnerable. And I talk a lot about vulnerability. I talk about vulnerability being, is that when you're trying to establish yourself as an expert, it's hard to feel vulnerable. You feel like you have to be perfect. You have to like have this shield up, that you have to look and sound like you got your ish together. And business ownership isn't about that. And her saying that to me and her giving me that tough love was like the door opening up for me to be able to step through and actually living by my values, because my values align really closely with Daring Greatly, with Brené Brown's theories of, like, you know, vulnerability being, you know, the path to courage, the path to healing, the path to less shame in our lives. And I'm not even answering your question, actually, but you know, it's really for me about stepping through that door of, this is really scary, and I also don't want to be a non-human as well, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Oh no, it does. It really does. And the thing that is really awesome about that, though, is you've been in the corporate world before. You had the job in social work, and you kind of saw the stuffiness that could happen when you don't actually allow yourself to be the person you want to be. And the fact that you've been able to translate that in your business, in being that vulnerable person after you got the tough love, shows that you're there. Like, there's no masks. You really are truly being who you are every single day.
I think the biggest jump for me there was knowing that what I was saying and what I was doing was not aligning. And I wanted to live my values. I wanted to do all of those things, but it was scary to do it. And the negative self-talk that I hear in my head about, oh, well, they're not going to like you if, you know, and we all want to be liked. They're not going to like you if you actually are the full-blown person that you are. But transparency is really important to me. So those things are not aligned when I act a certain way and then I'm saying something else.
I love that. And I think I know who you're talking about, who called you out on that. She's recently been somebody who's helping me indirectly. She doesn't realize she's helping me. She's helping me with my story and being a little bit more open about that and how it affects my business. But I think that the hardest thing for us as business owners with vulnerability and transparency is the fact of not just being liked, but if people actually knew everything that goes on in our heads or everything that we do, we worry that sometimes maybe they won't think we have the value that we have. And I think that's a hard one too, to get over, is just because we may not be the 6 or 7 figure person over here doesn't mean we can't help the people that are 2 steps behind us. And that's the big thing to remember. For me, I love what but I read somewhere, I can't remember where, pardon me for not being able to quote it exactly, that it's not about sharing the vulnerability, it's about sharing the journey from vulnerability, from that challenge moment into triumph, and showing them that basically you've done it so they can do it too. And that really helped me in being able to frame how I share those vulnerable moments. It's not just, I'm in the trenches right now and I have no idea what to do. Oh my gosh, somebody come save me. But I was there, I've been there, I know what it's like, and I'm here now. And so I really liked that way of thinking about it.
Love that.
So I love that you are a small business coach, because I'm a small business coach too. What made you kind of, and not necessarily switch gears to coaching, but made you choose the certification program that you went through?
Yeah, actually, it was out of fear of being an imposter, if I'm being really honest. I told my husband I was going to become a coach, and he was like, yeah, great, you're a social worker, you can totally do this. I was like, yeah, but I'm going to go into coach training. He's like, why do you need that? And I'm glad that I did, because it gave me a lot of skills that I think, I wasn't equipped with before. And now I have the tools in my toolkit. So I'm blessed that I have it, and I feel like my clients are better for it. But at the same time, I started it because I was fearful. And so, like, I'm glad to talk about it now, but I think that people need to know that whether you choose a training program or not, it's you're still enough. You have life experience. You have the capacity. If you have the capacity to listen and are able to be a really present coach, then don't choose coach training out of fear.
I love that. Especially because a lot of the times when we're starting something that's new, we all do things out of fear. Mm-hmm. And it can actually get the best of us because we don't necessarily know any other way. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're open about that and you felt like you were an imposter in this industry, everyone feels that way in every single industry when they start out. And to be able to negate that early, because everyone's good enough. Everyone has been given skills and gifts that we're able to use as we figure out what purpose we want to do in this life. And it just allows you to be better at what you know you're already good at. You just get to hone your skills just a little bit more, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel really lucky that I did invest in that program just because now I have, you know, different ways of looking at a tough conversation, and coaching is a lot of tough conversations, right? You guys both know this, but I feel like I come to the table with a different skill set, a different, you know, set of ears, so to speak, and just being able to bring it, not only as a person, but as a coach.
You do bring it. You do. And now all I'm thinking about is like, bring it on, because anytime someone says that, I'm immediately like, bring it on. Okay. Cheerleading. I get it. What are some of the values that you bring into your business, like now that you've been in it for a while and you've been able to kind of incorporate everything that you want?
Well, I'm not going to be able to remember the full list, but I have four core principles in my business, and those are to my four P's. So I encourage passion, purpose, productivity, and positivity for anything that I do that stems out of Raina & Co. And if it doesn't hit on that, I'm probably not going to do it. But there are other personal values of mine that kind of lay on top of that. So my like main driver and my main like focus is fun, and my family, and fulfillment and freedom. I don't know why they're all alliterations. It's so strange, but my four P's and my four F's are like very much overlaid on top of one another, and you know, making sure that they are always playing nicely with one another is really important to me.
I love that. I've always loved your alliteration, by the way. I literally tried to do that when I did my values because I just loved how it flowed. And yeah, it did not happen.
Well, honestly, it was by accident. And I was like, oh, this is really strange. But it is. It's just how I am.
And by the way, can I just say how much I love that my podcast co-host, who, as she mentioned, is a small business coach, and my very first coach, sorry, you guys are above and below. That's why I'm pointing like this. I feel like I'm going to break. My very first coach, who's also a small business coach, that you're both also cheerleaders. Does that speak volumes to the amazing coaching abilities and like encouragement that goes on with you?
Maybe
guys?
That's just the kind of energy you need in your life.
Yeah.
So speaking of people who are cheerleaders and bring that encouragement, who are some of your biggest influencers who have been there and helped you either see a new path or have encouraged you along one that you found? Who are those influencers for you?
Oh my gosh. So the ones that know me versus the ones that don't know me, different categories, right? So I really love Heather Crabtree. I talk about her all the time. I'm obsessed with her. My business would not be where it is without the Savvy Business Owners groups. So all the kudos to Heather. I love the Nectar Collective, Melissa, and she is such a sweet person and is super knowledgeable. So I love following her stuff. One of the first videos when I was starting out that I watched was a Denise Duffield Thomas video, where I think it's like a really strange one because she's on a stage and she's like walking back and forth. I don't know if you guys have seen this, where she talks about like how women sell versus how men sell. And she's like describing how terrible we are at selling. It was like such a mind-opening moment for me. That's a really great one. And who else? I mean, I love Brené Brown. I've read everything that she's written. I think that one of my favorite authors to read in the business world is Simon Sinek. I think he is just a huge thought leader and such an inspiration for how we should and shouldn't do business. And I love reading about leadership. I don't know about you guys, but it's like so mind-opening for us business owners that we have. I love the way that he talks about how you can lead a small business versus like a huge corporation. And all of those things really apply to my business as well as like a ginormous entity. So yeah, those are some of my favorite ones.
I absolutely love that list of people. I think I have mentioned Heather and the Savvy Business Owners group on every mini-sode I've done. I literally just did it in a bunch of posts that I did for, I happen to be, for the week that we're recording this, I'm the Boss Mom Ambassador of the Week.
Sweet.
And literally almost every post has something to do with the Savvy Experience and Heather. Because, well, you know.
And Savvy Experience was amazing. Let's be really honest about that.
Yeah, I'm super jealous I was not able to attend.
Sorry, Nicole.
But you're going to be at Collective at Heart soon.
Yeah, Creative at Heart.
Creative at Heart.
Yeah.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. All right. Get to meet Kat and all of her goodness.
Yeah. And you'll meet Monique.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited about that. I'm so happy when Kat said that she is going to be a speaker.
Yeah.
Yay.
You're going to love her. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I mean, Simon Sinek has been a huge, huge one that I follow, and I love what he has to say about things. And just listening to him talk, him in general, like, I could just sit and listen to him all day. It's amazing. He has a gift.
Yes.
So how do you feel that, you know, living your values and really following your own path has helped you to succeed?
I have been really clear about who and what I say no to. From the get-go, I'm typically an overcommitter, so I want to help everyone. But one thing that I have really been careful about is knowing when something is not in alignment with my values. A lot of people burn out because they're saying yes to all the wrong things and because the money's good, or they're, you know, fearful of something. And thankfully, I've been really clear on what that is and isn't for me in my business. So that's been like one huge huge thing that I'm really grateful for, having gone down the right path for that one. In terms of alignment, you know, I really do try to choose fun over like hustle. I try to choose ease over like grinding, because if I get burnt out, that's not serving anyone. You know, if I don't have white space in my life, that's really not helping myself, my family, my clients. And so many people go there. So many people are in this place of difficulty. And not to say that I haven't been there, because I've been there plenty, but I really do try to choose more intentionally when I can.
Love that. I think that that is something that we all have such a hard time with when we first get started, because you want to say yes to everything because it's money, and who wants to say no to money? But when you're saying yes to the wrong things, it starts to make you think that maybe you're not cut out for this, or maybe you're not doing the right things, when in reality, it might just be that you're not working with the right people or on the right projects. And it's so important to make sure that you're checking in with those values and making sure that everything you say yes to aligns with what you're truly in business for, what your why is, what those core values are.
Can I add something else? Because I think when we're starting out, we feel like we're doing it wrong. We're always feeling like we're doing it wrong. And honestly, there's not really a right way of doing anything. Like, you get to make the rules. And it took me a while to realize that. But once I figured it out, and that there wasn't this secret formula that I could just have as many or as few clients as I wanted, or I could create or not create packages that I wanted to, or sell one product versus another, or that there wasn't a specific launch sequence that I had to do. It was mind blowing that I could try things and see what I liked, see what I don't like. And, you know, maybe there are best practices, but I don't have to do all of them.
I love that you said that, because that has been probably the biggest thing that, so I started one way. I didn't have this support system. I didn't even have people to follow because I didn't know who they were or where they were. So I was doing it my own way, but completely blind. And then I found the Savvy Business Owners group, and I found all these amazing people who could show me ways and steps and best practices. And then I tried to fit myself into those boxes and realized that that didn't work out so well. It didn't feel right. It didn't feel good. And I had to break out of that box and and finally saying, you know what, I'm going to do it my way, just made it, it made it fun. Like you said, it brings back that passion and that fire that we have in the beginning when you're trying to stuff yourself into this box of this 5-step process to get from here to here, but it's not your way of doing things. It doesn't feel right, and it stifles you, and it puts out your fire.
It does, and it makes you feel like your voice isn't important, that your experience isn't important, and what's the fun in that?
And when you get the clients, too, that make you feel that way, that drain you of that energy that you have and that fire, that's when it makes you question, are you good enough? When, in hindsight, you are good enough because you started out doing something. Yeah. So if you learn early on who you want to work with and how to say no and put up those boundaries of knowing that what you're doing is going to be right for you no matter what, you will always have fun. You will always have passion. You will always be happy. So I love that you have been able to do that because you've been an inspiration for me to actually be a catalyst to do that in my business, knowing that regardless of what you're doing, even though it's successful, you've been able to help me see that what I'm doing is going to be successful, even if it's not something anyone's ever done.
Oh my gosh, that's so sweet of you. Thank you.
You're welcome. I've been telling Sam all week, like, I'm so excited to actually get to talk to you.
Oh.
And I'm super bummed that my internet's just being stupid right now.
You're here in voice.
Yes.
Not in video.
No.
Oh, no. And I mean, I don't know how often I said it, even leading up to Savvy. I was super excited you were going to be there because, I mean, I got the pleasure of talking to you for 3 months, but getting to meet you in person is a whole other experience. And okay, you are
that not amazing. Put us on a pedestal. Let's just bring me down 17 notches. All right.
You're not up on the pedestal, but no. You are amazing. You are, and you do bring such amazing encouragement and value and love to what you do. And the people around you feel that. I mean, you have a group called Heart Centered for a reason, because you truly are heart centered. Your heart is in what you do. So, not
to no, that means a lot. And you know, if nothing else in the world, you know, there's people talk about what is your business's legacy, and that's my business's legacy. If I can touch people's lives by encouraging them and letting them know that what they're putting out into the world is enough. What they're working on is enough. You are enough. That's all I can ask for. And I can help people like strategize about their business. That's like an extra step in the right direction. But honestly, if I can help people not close down shop and know that there is a path for them, that's like winning.
So I know that throughout this, we've given some tips and tricks and advice to our listeners, but if you were to give a new entrepreneur, somebody just starting out, a couple pieces of advice, what would it be?
When you're starting out your business, just start. Have conversations with people, and not people who are your mom or your husband or your best friend, because they're not going to get it, but find a group like the Heart Centered Biz Bosses or the Savvy Business Owner Group, and go find people that are like you, people who have the same spirit and the drive that you have and who are as terrified of this journey as you are and also excited, right? Because you have to find your business best friends. That's the biggest thing that I've learned. Another thing is don't wait for the perfect whatever. Don't wait for the perfect equipment. Don't wait for the perfect, I don't know, system, calendar tool. I tried all of them. Acuity's the best. But don't wait for the best whatever to get started. I started putting together Canva little pamphlets so that I can start putting out my things. And yeah, it was not the prettiest thing ever, but it got me where I am. And until I could invest in my, you know, designers, that was exactly what I needed to do. So don't wait to put that stuff out there. If you're not embarrassed of your first, you know, go around, you're probably waiting too long. Another thing I'll say is be really wary about who your mentors are. Be wary of the people who you're listening to. And by mentors, I mean like people who you're listening to on podcasts, people who you're listening to on blogs, people who you're listening to on Periscope. You don't have to listen to everybody. I listened to way too many things and way too many people and was really confused for a while because everyone had a different opinion. And focus on one thing or a few things at a time to get you started.
I love that because I feel like the wary of your mentors is a huge one because we see so many people out there kicking butt and doing their thing and we want to follow all of them and learn their secret, right? But there's no secret. And even though there's a ton of people out there who are making what we want to make or doing what we want to do and being successful at it. Not all of them align with who we are or why we're doing what we do or the values that we've set forth. We really need to make sure that we're not following people who are doing it for completely different reasons, because they're going to give us all sorts of advice that doesn't fit.
Yeah. And another thing too, is that the people who you think are making it aren't always making it. Something that I've noticed not in the coaching world necessarily, there are some coaches who do this, but like there are plenty of people who are saying they make, oh, I had a 5-figure month, but they're spending $9,000. So they're making what? Like a teeny tiny portion, and they're taking home almost nothing. Okay, if that's success for you, that's totally fine, but don't base your success on somebody else's, you know, whatever they're telling you out in the real world.
And it sounds like your overarching theme for all this advice is really just to trust in yourself. Like above all things, like with your mentors and with just getting started, just trust in yourself to know this is what you want to do.
Yeah. Oh, another thing I like to share too is when people are really just starting, they feel like they see all these people who are killing it and don't know how they'll get there. But really what they want in their first, you know, their first level of success is to be able to just like make a little money. And you have to be really clear about what that little bit of money is. And for me, it was literally, I have to pay my son's daycare or else we were going to lose money. So that was what, like $300 a week or something like that. And I really needed to just do that. So get really clear on what it is that you need to make or how many clients you need to have in your business at the very beginning, and make a commitment to yourself that that's what you need to do. And for me, that was, I have to get a part-time job because my coaching isn't going to pay for that. And having no shame about it, like, fine, got to do it, done. And I now have a little worksheet called the Survive and Thrive, and I'm happy to send that to you guys so that you can send that to your folks. The Survive and Thrive worksheet was really a good tool for me to just break down how much do I actually need to bring home in my business to actually like break even, and how much do I need to make in my business to be able to thrive a little bit. And thrive is like different for every family, different for every person, but it might just be, oh, I can go to dinner once a month or go for cocktails or whatever. It's just a little bit different, right? And so what does that actually look like?
I love that, because there is no shame in having, I know I keep saying this after everything you say is, I love it, I love it, I love it, because, well, I love you, Raina. So, no, seriously, is we all sit and look at these people who say they make 6 or 7 figures or who have 5-figure months, but it's the highlight reel. It's the reel that just shows us the revenue that maybe they brought in, but not the profit side of things, mm-hmm. but also the sheer fact of, you know, what did they do to get that? How long did it take them to make that in the month? Like, were they working for a year to get that 5-figure month? Or did they really only work for that month? Because the way it's always fashioned is they worked for that month, right? Mm-hmm. It took them 30 days to make 5 figures. But that isn't reality. For some people in some launches, sure, maybe it is. But probably I'd say 95% of the time, that is not reality. And it's the highlight reel. And the sheer fact that not all of us have the same needs to fulfill. And so we need to measure our success, and we need to measure what we need to make based on what our lives are like, mm-hmm. and not what this person over here who says they made 5 figures is doing. And I love that. I was talking with somebody who said their husband told them they were successful and they didn't feel successful. And I said, my way of measuring success hasn't been in a monetary sense. It's been more rooted at the why I'm doing what I do. You know, it was to give me financial freedom, but more so freedom with my family, to be there for my kids. That's the biggest one for me, is I didn't want to feel guilty when my child was sick, calling in sick to work. And mm-hmm. I wanted to know that I could be there for her. Like, she's sick right now and I can be home with her. I can rearrange my schedule if I have to. And really being able to do what I love. And out of that, I have what I wanted. Never was I want to be a millionaire. So why would I measure that as being successful?
Yeah, it's so true. I was actually just talking to a client this morning who was saying, I feel like it's never enough. Like, I keep doing all these things and it's never enough. And I feel like a lot of people feel this way, that we, whatever achievements we have, whatever productivity we have, however much revenue we're making, it's never going to be enough. And I asked her, what does success actually look like for you? And for me, when I think about success, it's not a destination. We don't arrive, because arriving is death, and that sucks, right? For me, it's like train stations. It's like you arrive at one, you're like, yeah, did it. Next one, celebrate, right? And like every single one, you're moving forward and you're like collecting these wins along the way. So like we have to define what success actually feels like. For me, it's a feeling of freedom, feeling of like being able to do the things I want to do. If I want to travel to Japan for a month with my family, I can, right? All of those things that I want to be able to do in my life, that's success. Not getting stifled, feeling really passionate about the work that I'm doing, that's success for me.
And it doesn't even have to be a huge goal that you achieve that equates to success. It's all the little things that it takes to get to that train stop too.
Mm-hmm. Like yeah, absolutely.
There could be derailments. There could be pit stops that are unforeseen, but you still have to celebrate them.
Absolutely. I think that's so true. Like maybe you make a little quick detour. Or maybe not so quick detour. Like my life has not been a straight shot. And I often talk about this with creatives, is that we think that it's going to be like from here to there is a straight shot. And it's not, right? It's often like these weird detours, scenic routes, you know, cliffhangers, and then going back because we're scared, whatever it is, we figure it out. And I think every step along the way, every weird turn that I've made in my business or in my life, rather, it's been for a reason. You know, I've worked in events, I've worked in political, I've worked in nonprofit, I've worked in social work. Like all of these things have resulted me becoming Raina now. So I really want to encourage people who are feeling like, I don't know what my path is. Right now is your path. Like, be where you are.
You have no idea how many quotes I just wrote down.
I like to say, be present where you're present, because I feel like we're always looking for something else. And I have to tell myself that all the time.
And Miss Queen of Analogies over here is absolutely in love with the train analogy because it's so perfect. And I was waiting for Nicole to say you have to celebrate the FBWs because she
loves her fat baby wins.
But it's true. And I think that when you're talking about it never feels like enough, it's mm-hmm. because we forget to celebrate those little milestones. Yeah. We forget to look at them. And that's one of the things I so can't hold it up because it's sitting underneath something. But my Inkwell press planner that I recently purchased, that's one of the things that I love, is because at the beginning of every month, you set goals. I have the exact same one.
Love you, Tanya.
Yes, we do. We do. I was just chatting with her in the Savvy group. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't just have you set like annual and quarterly type goals, but at the beginning of every month, you set those monthly goals. And literally at the end of every month, I go back through those and I put little check marks under all the ones I accomplished and I do a little celebration. And it's so important. And in all honesty, before getting this planner, which I just started in July, I never actually wrote down goals. Mm-hmm. And I never really celebrated anything other than the big ones. And it's amazing to see all the little ones that I've accomplished and the little steps forward that I've taken. They may be baby steps, but it's awesome. And it was so rewarding to go through and put all those little check marks. And like just putting check marks is enough.
So how do you guys typically celebrate your fat baby wins? Is that what you're calling it?
That's what she calls it.
You guys should put together like a list of 25 ways you can celebrate your fat baby wins.
Another idea.
Often.
So I know my favorite way to celebrate them is actually to like get out of my office and go do something. Like whether it's taking my dog for a walk or like, I know it's going to sound weird, but I enjoy going to the grocery store. So like going to the grocery store and like buying some food that I want to cook. My favorite one is getting a manicure pedicure, but that's just like the little princess in me. Can't do that all the time. But if I actually want to and feel like that was a big enough fat baby win, I'll go do that.
I would say if it's just like getting to check something off, it wasn't necessarily a monetary win, but just a goal accomplished type when my favorite thing, and I say this all the time, is a dance party. I'm a sing and dance kind of person. So I put the music up loud and I sing and dance along with it. And I act like complete and utter fool in my house by myself. And my kids laugh and they join in and it's fun. So that's how I do those. If it's a monetary one, I will usually go and treat myself to something like a mani-pedi or go get my hair done a different way than normal, you know, like maybe get color in it or something, or go for that massage that I've been putting off for way too long, you know, things like that when there's those monetary wins. But the little ones are usually a good dance party with my kids.
Cool beans. For me, it's just like buying a little candy or nail polish.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Okay. So to wrap things up, we like to ask one of our fun questions. Today we're going to ask you, if you were a new addition to a crayon box, what color would you be? What would you name it and why?
Oh my gosh. I would be... Okay, so let me describe the color. So I think it would be like a neon orange coral color. And I want it to be something like sunshine surprise or like sunrise surprise or something like that. And I want it to be like a swirl of orange and coral. So like every time you color, it's not just orange or coral. It's like kind of like a swoosh of both.
Ooh.
So let's go with that.
That's unique. I think we're going to have to actually create this color. Maybe I'll pull Ilya into this so we can actually put it onto the show notes and be like, this is her sunshine surprise. Or
I feel like you would regret asking this question after me.
Sorry. No, we love these types of questions. I'm like envisioning, I don't know if you guys had this when you were kids, but like the markers that like would always just change color.
Yeah.
And I just envision like it being just all sorts of like coral and orange as you're drawing.
Or those fun hand lettering ones that we all watch on Instagram now, where like they dipped it in two colors and you get like the peak of the one color through the, that right there. I can envision it perfectly. It's beautiful.
I totally hear that.
So thank you so very much for joining us today. It's been a blast chatting with you. And
fabulous. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. And should I tell them where they can find me? Or
yeah, definitely. Well, we're going to include it in the show notes.
Okay.
But go ahead. If you've got something you want to share, please.
Sure. So you can find me at reinaandco.com/join. And I'm on all the platforms, but on Instagram, which is my favorite, I'm at Reina and Company because somebody stole Reina and Co. So I hope that you'll come and connect with me and just give me some high fives and hugs. And I'm happy to give that back to you. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yes. And for those of you listening, you can go to beautifullyboldpodcast.com for all of the show notes, links to all of Reina's amazing stuff. And also to continue the conversation, you can join us over in the Beautifully Bold and Business Facebook group by going to beautifullyboldpodcast.com/Facebook. Thanks so much. And we'll see you again next time.
Let's get you leading beautifully and boldly in your life and business. Head on over to beautifullyboldpodcast.com for more information about this episode, show notes, and resources on how to be beautifully bold in your business. There you can also learn more about the two beautiful women behind the movement. If you liked what you heard today, then head on over to iTunes and leave Nicole and Samantha a review. It's the little things that can have a huge impact, and your review would mean so much to them. This music is provided by bensound.com.